There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Hey everyone, welcome in. It's another edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Ben Wilson in for Patrick Maher. Patrick's back tomorrow. Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, he is back with us on the show today. I know your 76ers are 0-1, Michael. We can at least get the NBA talk out of the way. James Harden, I don't know if he has found the rim yet on any of his shots, but alas, the season is underway. I'm sorry you had to watch that last night.
I didn't watch. I watched Elvis last night. I was not going to watch that. Of course, your man, the greatest basketball player in the history of basketball, Joel Embiid. You know, I mean, as we honor the great Bill Russell this year, we have to always preface that by saying Embiid is right next to, at least in the Philadelphia area, next to Bill Russell. Six turnovers, one of the worst defensive performances you could have. But, hey, it's all going to be great. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Everything's going to be perfect. I said this before on the show, not because I'm a Debbie Downer, but bet the under. Just bet the under on their total.
Resident 76ers fan Michael Lombardi, not happy after the 0-1 start. You know what you should have been here for yesterday? Mike Pritchard, who's always in with us on Tuesdays. Just the look in Pritch's eye when I just mentioned the Denver Broncos to him, and we had that Monday night game where the Broncos, again, just completely in front of a national audience, did everything in their power to embarrass themselves, losing by three. And Mike, of course, a former Bronco wide receiver, just the ire he had in his voice and everything about him was just, there's so much contempt right now for anybody who cares about that franchise. I feel like we don't need to belabor the point anymore because of how much we have discussed the Broncos here over the last couple of days on the network. But if you're in that front office right now, what are you doing if you're the Denver Broncos at this point, being 2-4 and yet another disastrous performance on a national stage?
Well, if I'm George Payton, I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about the two decisions that I have to make that are going to determine the success of the franchise. I think I whiffed on. I whiffed on the head coach. I think I might have whiffed on that. I don't see it getting better. I don't see it getting better. As much as I love his father, Paul Hackett, and have worked with him there, and as much as I want this to be successful for him, I just don't see it. I think he has a look on his face that says, I'm in over my head. I don't know what you take from watching him on the sideline, but when I do, I don't get a sense of confidence. And then the quarterback, whatever you want to say, and I wrote about it on VSiN yesterday, the quarterback just isn't playing well, even though he's moving a little bit and people say, well, he had a bad, you know, hamstring in the fourth quarter. They can't generate successful drives. Now, look, the left tackle, Garrett Bowles, was out, so they were doing some maneuvering. They had to move the third best right tackle, Cam Fleming, over to left tackle to kind of subside that. But to me, this has been when I watch Denver, I don't see a very tough team in any phase at all. And really, the Chargers have nobody to blame for the game going in overtime but themselves. You're a fan of analytics, Ben. You believe that those fourth down calls Brendan Staley make, I'm sure some of them you like. But to me, the biggest thing, I don't know if it was mentioned because I had the volume down, the malpractice of the night was on 3rd and 17 when the Broncos don't have any timeouts left, they throw the ball.
Yeah.
And they give Denver 3 points to end the half. And those 3 points essentially cost you the game, cost you to get the game in overtime. You had a chance to lose the game because you gave away 3 points.
And only because the Chargers get the muff punt in overtime after 3.6 yards per play. That was the end result, Michael, is how they get that win. And yes, you think about the Chargers and where they're at, and our main topic and storylines coming out of Monday night was how bad is this for Denver? Yet that kind of neutralizes and covers up probably the bigger issue here for a team that a lot of people thought would be a legit contender in the LA Chargers. Sure, they're 4-2. Sure, the win total is still 10.5 at BetMGM today. That has not really changed all season. But this is a team that we were expecting to see pretty significant improvement on the defensive side of the ball from a head coach in Brandon Staley, who is a defensive guy. I look at the numbers right now as we've updated these here through the first 6 weeks of the season. Chargers are 23rd overall on an EPA per play basis, and that is probably only being boosted by the fact that they're 13th against the pass, where the last four games, the Chargers' defense has faced quarterbacks Davis Mills, Trevor Lawrence, Jacoby Brissett, and Russell Wilson, who right now has all the statistical profile of a bottom 10 quarterback. So for as much as we could point to, all right, Chargers' offensive line super banged up, Herbert didn't look like he had a chance in a lot of those spots Monday night, where's the improvement on the defensive end? I know you have a couple injuries on that side of the ball, Michael, but isn't that the big disappointment here from an LA team so far through 6 weeks?
It's not disappointing to me because I've never felt like Staley was a good defensive coach. I've never felt like that. I've never felt like anytime he gets into a chess match that he's going to win it. I always felt like he puts so much pressure on his offense, you know, to win the game for him. He puts everything on Herbert's plate. And when they don't run the ball, like I said, two things that have happened with the Chargers offense that I think we see over the season, right? When they can't really run the ball effectively, when they don't have a sustained ground game, with whether it's with Eckler or another back, and they put the burden on Herbert, then Herbert has to make a big play with Mike Williams. And when he doesn't make big plays in those areas, then it becomes a problem. And that's how you slow it down. Defensively, for all the conversation about, oh, they've got Pro Bowlers on every level, mm-hmm. I mean, good teams can throw the ball on them. Now, obviously, the scheme with Denver isn't a good scheme. Let's be clear here. You know, I mean, they really weren't. They aren't able to do that. So my sense of it is that it's not going to get any better in Denver. I mean, when you look at it and you look at all their numbers, their offense is very generic. They don't make any adjustments. And when you see what they're doing, and especially now that they've lost their left tackle, you know, they're going to start to fall short in a lot more areas. So I wasn't impressed with either team last night on Monday night. I really wasn't. I don't have a strong sense that there's a gap between – actually, there's a gap between the Chargers, Denver. Even the Raiders have a better chance at closing the gap than any team in that division.
To your point, at least, first on the Chargers run game, tied for 26th in yards per rush attempt. They're at a hearty 3.7 so far. And that is leading to a lot of these issues for Herbert having to go into more pass-heavy sets, and it's led to more predictable sets that defenses can attack. And then on the Denver side, so we saw this with Indianapolis, and you can point to saying, all right, well, maybe these quarterbacks in a new system for veteran guys, it just takes a little bit of time. We saw Matt Ryan, after looking horrific, easily a bottom 10 quarterback statistically through 5 weeks, finally found some success against a Jacksonville defense that was ranked third against the pass coming in. Ryan throws for nearly 400 yards this past week. Is there a part of you that thinks that could eventually happen for Russell Wilson, or are these issues so ingrained in Denver that it's probably not going to turn around?
Well, I mean, you could say whatever you want about Indianapolis, and I'm not sure that when Matt Ryan, and I wrote about this, when he has to go outside in weather, that arm's going to hold up. I watched him last year against Buffalo in the weather last season, and I thought he did throw the ball well. But this year when I watch him, it just doesn't seem like he's got the same velocity. But he leads the league in completed passes. I mean, that's pretty remarkable for a guy that we think is a bottom 10. They lead the league in completed passes. And so, you know, and once they get Taylor back, I think that'll certainly help. Now, they modified their offensive line. They've moved guys around. They put Dennis Kelly at left tackle. I mean, that was a game that they won against Jacksonville because of their offense. And if Jacksonville would ever clean up some of their coaching decisions during a game, they are the best team in the South. But, you know, for me, Matt Ryan, I don't know how this is going to get better as we go longer into the season and go outside. And the execution of Indianapolis has got to improve. I mean, even though they are, you know, when you look at it, they lead the league in completed passes. They are fourth in the National Football League in rushes and completions, which is good. They're playing against a team this weekend in Tennessee who they lost to. That's one of the worst teams in terms of completed passes and rushing attempts combined. Their execution in Tennessee hasn't been good. With all that being said, they still win games, which is remarkable.
3-2-1 for Indianapolis, now taking on a Tennessee team that, as you mentioned, stonewalled them in the first meeting. Indy also, we talk about these teams, really struggling to run the ball consistently. 3.5 yards per carry on the overall attempts this year, tied for 29th with Indy. I just wonder, as much as it's easy to say, and I think a lot of us would just generally gravitate towards saying that was probably more of a one-off for Ryan this past week against Jacksonville than what you'd expect long-term. You could see, though, how, like, Denver fans, because, you know, we're doing the whole comparison, right? The Ryan situation to Wilson in Denver, where Bronco fans say, okay, if Ryan can do it, well, maybe our guy Russ can eventually find a way. I don't know how you could really make that, like, that leap, though, as an evaluator to say, well, surely at some point it's got to happen. I don't think it is, and I would venture to say, like, if my statement right now, if I were to say bottom 10 quarterback, like the rest of the season here for Wilson, I don't know what you would say to that, but I don't know how you could rate him much higher than that bottom 10, overall slot right now.
I think you got to go back. I think the best way to do a comparison is go back and say, okay, what's going on in Seattle offensively? You know, without Russell, have they taken a step back? No. The answer is they average more points per play than they did when Russell was there. They're better in every statistical category with two rookies playing at the tackle position. And Geno Smith, who we, including myself, all laughed at as, are they really going to go with Geno Smith? Like, I kept saying it this summer, wrongly, that how could you go on vacation if Geno Smith's your starting quarterback? John Schneider's obviously way smarter than I am. He watched him. And Geno Smith's playing at a much higher level than Russell Wilson has. Russell, we said last year, wasn't cooking. Now, there was 1,000 excuses for why he wasn't cooking. And all those excuses still continue to go, just like the excuses for Justin Fields continue to go. But the reality of it is your performance is your performance, and Russell's performance isn't going to get any better. He's only going to get older. He's lost something. You can see it in his play. It's not going to magically turn around. I thought it would. I liked the Broncos in the 4.5 on Monday night because I thought he would play better. I was fortunate to cover that game only because of Staley and his inability to really take control of the game.
And you think where we're at now, 2-4 Denver going ahead. That money has come into the Jets this week. That is inside a field goal now. It is amazing.
I mean, it's liable to flip to the Jets being the favorite. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I would not be stunned to see this get all the way down. Could it get to pick 'em or one? Who knows? It's at Jets.
It was
two
one. I think it is one, Ben. What is it today? It was 1.5 yesterday morning when I woke up.
We'll get an update on that when we come back. I know when we did the show yesterday, it was already down to 2 and moving. And we're seeing this. Now at Pick'em. So there you go. It has moved all the way down to a PK. All right, big show on tap today. We'll tell you the guests when we return. Some chatter on the Washington Commanders. That's coming up next on the Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. On the show today, outstanding Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line, Chad Graff, a New England Patriots beat writer for The Athletic. A lot of stories swirling around New England, Michael, that we'll get into with Chad here a little bit later this hour. And then Harry Gagnon from the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal joins us at 1:30 on the East Coast. So a great guest list. We're excited to bring you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. Was just confirming, Michael, over the break, that jet line, which had ticked down to 2 while Pritch and I were on the air yesterday during the show, at DraftKings on the East Coast, it is still holding out Denver minus 1.5, but they are very much on an island. Every other book has now gone to pick them here. Full 3-point line move. I know you've been critical in the past of Robert Saleh as the Jets head coach. We watched Zach Wilson at quarterback legitimately make one play Sunday in Green Bay, yeah. And yet the Jets still win 27-10. Are you believing this move here for the Jets? Are you ready to back Bob Saleh on the road here at Mile High?
Mr. Clean, Bobby, I'm not sold on it. I mean, look, there's a lot of things to clean up for the Jets. I mean, they dominated the game up front. They were able to make the Packers, they never adjusted. Here's what I would say to you as a Packer fan, and my cousin Big Daddy Vince is also one too, who's very upset with everybody in the organization and demanding accountability. But, you know, you can't run the offense that you have with Davante Adams when he's not there. Like, at what point does LaFleur say, I can't run this, I have to change what I'm doing because I don't have an outside X. I don't have somebody that I know I'm going to get double covered on. And that opens up everything else for somebody else. So I give the Jets credit for understanding that, recognizing that. And Rodgers had to hold the football, and they couldn't move the ball. I mean, they turned the ball over every time they had a chance to. So this game in Denver, I think Denver's going to have a hard time blocking this front of the Jets. I think the Jets will have a hard time blocking the front of Denver. I think this is an underplay to me when you look at the game just on the surface. And, you know, the line, it's 43.5. It opened at 43.5. It's at 38 today. I think everybody's thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
No doubt.
And if Russell can't move, it's going to be problematic. And what I see from Denver is they just run their stuff. It really almost doesn't matter who they're playing. They're just going to run their stuff. And, you know, and their stuff isn't good enough. They don't have enough to get there. I mean, they're one of the worst third and short teams in the league. They're one of the worst. They're the worst red zone team in the league. So those things are results of toughness. And I don't think Denver has it. The Jets do, though. I give them credit. I had this game, yeah. Ben.
Where'd you have it?
I had it at 3.3 in favor of Denver. And that really was, I had it as a 0-3-3 game, and I give Denver 3 points because of the altitude and the stadium. And obviously, I think that's too many points because I think Denver fans see their team the same way I see their team, with no real hope.
When you leave a game before overtime at home, that's a pretty good telling sign, I would say.
I think I'm wrong on that adjustment. Like, I have these two teams in the power rankings. I have the Jets ranked higher in my power rankings ever so slightly against Denver. So when you're ranked like that, you go, and especially at Mile High, you know, you're going to give a team an advantage there because of the altitude. But, you know, obviously the betting public sees this as, let's grab the Jets and the points. Now, you know, buyer beware here. I mean, Zach Wilson could just explode and turn the ball over, which he hasn't done other than the first three quarters of the Pittsburgh game, right? I mean, since Pittsburgh, he's protected the football really well, and they've managed the game. They made no plays in that Green Bay game of sort. They made 2 runs and a reverse is basically what they did.
It's wild to watch. As the Wisconsinite here on the show, Michael, watching the way Green Bay was just manhandled up front on both offense and defense, was jarring to watch and to see zero adjustments being made. You mentioned offensively for Green Bay. I was really high on Aaron Jones coming into the season, thinking they would use him in so many different ways, the Packers would, because of what you just said with the lack of personnel at wide receiver. At one point late in that game, Jones was sitting at 4 carries for 0 yards, and they were barely running him routes out of the backfield. It's like, well, you have a guy like Jones who's an Alvin Kamara-type player who's a lead in multiple aspects of your offense, and you're not using them. That's just one of the myriad issues, I would say, for Green Bay.
How about ironic is this? The game features the LaFleur brothers calling plays, and they both end up with 278 yards total. Each team had 278 exactly. Both teams were a disaster. The Jets more than the Packers. The Packers are 4 for 16 on third down. The Jets are 1 and 11 and won the game. Think about that. Yeah, the Jets are 1 and 11 and win the game.
Yes, all the opportunities in the first half, Green Bay could do nothing, nada, with that. And Green Bay now, I was thinking, Michael, before the week's games that we just saw, that this would have profiled this week to be a great buy low spot in the market on Green Bay, going to Washington, taking on the sorry Commanders who have zero home field advantage whatsoever, and coming off a very fluky win on the road against Chicago 12-7. But with Carson Wentz now injured, Washington's going to Taylor Heinicke, the guy who at least, while the numbers are about identical, at least from his starting numbers last year to what we've seen with Wentz so far this year, he's been a player who's, well, more of a wild type of gunslinger-type quarterback, has at least given Washington somewhat of a spark. And we've seen the market react to this by not really going toward the Packers side at all. This has stayed pretty firm at that 5, 5.5 type range here. Really no significant movement either way. And some of the books have seen Washington buy back, Michael, now down to 5. What do you make of that move there for Washington with the Wentz injury? And what do you expect now for the Commanders going forward?
Well, I never trust the Commanders. You know, I never do. But their front's good. I mean, their front's good, and it's going to bother Rodgers. They play a lot of off coverage. There's a lot of easy throws. We saw Cooper Rush make them. You know, Justin Fields couldn't make them. We saw that. And so, you know, but they've improved defensively. They have improved, and it's going to be hard to run the football on the Commanders for Green Bay. And, look, Green Bay's not well coached in any phase, really, defensively, special teams, and now offensively. I mean, Rodgers, John Madden had a great saying. He said, you know, the quarterback's a great deodorant for everything that's wrong with your team. And Rodgers has been the great deodorant. I mean, he has been, you know, Old Spice for them all the way.
Yeah.
Because he's covered up a lot of the sins of their defense and their kicking game. Now, you know, you get Bisacci back, you say, well, we got – no, that doesn't matter who coaches the special – if you have no emphasis on the special teams or willing to have special teams players, it's hard to be good at special teams.
Just because
the coach is there doesn't mean it. So, to me, Washington, you know, this is a game Washington has a chance. They're a home underdog. There's not going to be a lot of difference between their offense with Heinicke in there. I don't know if a team's punted more in the first half than the Washington football team. I really don't. I mean, that's what they do. They can't score in the first quarter. They can't play from in front, you know, and against Green Bay, to me, if you can't run the ball on Green Bay, something's wrong with you.
Another game that has seen big movement to the under. This is down as I look at my odd screen flashing in front of me, down to 41.5 now, opened at a pretty low total to begin with at 43.5.
I was going through some numbers, right? And teams are averaging 21.6 points per game this year. With the exception of 17, every season since 11, teams have been above 22.6. That's a full point lower than normal. Now, why is that? Why is that? Well, a lot of it is because we continue to ignore field goals. We just have such disdain for field goals. Your community, your analytical community that you love, Ben, they and I say that with all respect to you.
I get it.
I mean, you know, they hate field goals. So you want to know why the scoring's down? Okay. When you turn down points like my man Cliff Kingsbury continually did in that game, turned down 9 points, even though he couldn't score a point with his offense, you know, the scoring's going to come down, and I think this is a reflection of it. The other thing is, too, is I think what's happening is teams aren't – running the ball has increased in terms of average, but nobody wants to run the ball. Everybody wants to throw it, and what's shocking is the team like the New York Football Giants, they won the game, scored 24 points, made no explosive plays in the game.
When we talk about these totals now, as a result to what you're saying, Michael, it's – 38.5s, 41.5s. These are totals that would be considered like way, way on the low end. It's becoming the norm now in a lot of betting markets with how totals Unders are hitting at an incredible rate so far this year.
Because people are now used to. I was talking to a coach this week who's getting ready to play a team, and you know, he's like, hey, four downs in play here. We're going to practice every fourth down situation against this team. And so teams that are when Doug Peterson started doing it in 2017, nobody was really ready for fourth down. Nobody was ready for fourth down. But now everybody's preparing for it. And the results are pretty clear there.
You said that Aaron Rodgers, he's like the deodorant. I'd say it's more like the, you know, like the teenager with the Axe body spray, just all over the place, like it's just going nuts.
Well, LaFleur's one of the winningest coaches, and he and Guy Chamberlain and John Madden, they have the greatest winning percentage. You're going to put them in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah, I've 44-14 right now for young Matt LaFleur so far. Packers have a lot of issues. Washington has a lot of issues. Who will reign supreme Sunday in Washington? You know, there's also some issues is in New England with maybe a little quarterback controversy. Bailey Zappe versus Mac Jones. We'll see if there's any validity to that. Chad Graff, Patriots beat writer from The Athletic, helps us answer some of those questions when we return to the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the best betting talent in the game. If you haven't subscribed yet, VSiN has a midseason offer to make you a smarter better. Sign up now for just $99 and get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. You'll get everything VSiN has to offer, including our 24/7 live shows and subscriber-only betting guides to College Bowl season and the Super Bowl, all for less than the normal monthly rate. You'll also get VSiN subscriber-only season prep guides to the NHL, NBA, and World Cup. It's the best bet in the game. $99 for VSiN Pro now through the Super Bowl. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back with Michael Lombardi. I'm Ben Wilson, in for Patrick Maher. Today, we transition talking some New England Patriots ahead of their Monday night matchup against the Chicago Bears. Now up to 8-point favorites, by the way, Michael, in the market. Seems like the obvious teaser leg of the week there. But there are some maybe other issues going on behind the scenes. We'll see if they have any validity to some of these reports and rumors here as we welcome in Chad Graff, who is the New England Patriots beat writer for The Athletic. You give him a follow at Chad Graff. We appreciate the time, Chad. And we saw a couple of these stories come out. Albert Breer of SI had a report. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe had a report. He said he got like a random DM that there were issues with Mac Jones and his ego coming out of New England. What do you make of all this?
I don't think there's a lot to be made of it. As you guys in the business know, as many of us know, you don't generally get DMs with scoops from great sources. That's just not how it works. So I don't put a lot of stock into it. Every player I've talked to has raved and raved about Mac Jones' work ethic, his desire to basically play through this injury. He has pushed since the very beginning to recover faster than most players. This is usually a 4 to 6 week injury. He wanted to play last week. So players respect that. And I think the other thing that kind of gives some credence to that is when you talk to the players after Bailey Zappe's great game last week in Cleveland, they were very careful to kind of couch it. Like Matthew Judon, their star defensive player, said, yeah, Bailey's been great. And then kind of paused and he's like, for what we've asked him to do. I think they all recognize that the offense isn't quite the same. It's a little simpler. With Bailey Zappe, his average depth of target is around 6 yards. Mac Jones was 10 yards. They were pushing the ball down the field with Mac Jones more. So I really don't buy any of this talk that maybe Mac Jones isn't beloved or needs a humbling or anything like that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting because all summer we talked about how inept this Patriot offense was going to be and that they, you know, who's calling the plays, who's not calling the plays. Who's unhappy? They can't run the ball. They can't throw it. But all that seems to be kind of gone away. We also talked about all offseason about how bad of a draft they had. You know, the worldwide leader said they had a C-plus draft. They couldn't, you know, Cole Strange was picked too early. Thornton was picked way too early. You know, Joc Jones, you could have got him 70 picks later. What's been your reaction to all the things that were said as you watch this team today?
Well, two things. I mean, I think you have to start with the draft class. And don't mind the wind. It's a little windy here at Gillette. I'm standing in the end zone right now on a windy day. But this draft class, this rookie class, has been so, so impressive for the Patriots. Even if you take out Bailey Zappe's performances, which are hard to do considering how good he's been in his two starts. But Jack Jones has been the best rookie defender per Pro Football Focus. just a really good cornerback for a team that really needed some cornerback play. Jalen Mills is fine. He's pretty good, but he's also been banged up a little bit. But having Jones has been super, super important just to have somebody to fill in there. Cole Strange, the first-round pick, has been solid. And I was just looking through the draft the other day, looking back at that first round, nobody picked him like those first 10 spots behind him have really done anything that would warrant you wanting to make a switch there. Strange has been a day one starter, and I get that left guard is not the super priority when you're building a team, and so thus it doesn't often make sense to use a first-round pick in a spot like that, but that's what the Patriots needed, and he is playing well, then probably playing better than any of those 10 guys drafted right behind him that maybe draft experts thought the Patriots should have taken. Tyquan Thornton had a bit of an injury, but is coming back now and had two touchdowns last game, one rushing, one through the air. And so I could see him developing a pretty big role in the second half of this season for a Patriots team that could use another wide receiver to emerge. There was a point earlier when it looked like that might be Nelson Agholor, then he kind of petered off. Jacoby Myers is as steady as it gets. You know what you're going to get from him. But if Tyquan Thornton can develop a little bit, I think he could become a really nice weapon for the Patriots in the second half of the season.
And we saw how explosive he looked in certain spots in that game against Cleveland there, Chad, on Sunday, the 38-15 win over the Browns. Chad Graff joining us again, Athletic beat reporter for the New England Patriots. I find it very interesting that the overall, like the season win total here in season, the BetMGM posts each week, it was 8.5 on New England to start. There was a lot of money to the under. It got as low as 7.5. It's back to 8.5. Still hasn't really, though, changed even after a couple week stretch where New England has looked really impressive. Patriots are 3-3. Is the belief within that locker room from players you've talked to and based on the personnel and the stats so far, does this have the feeling to you of a team that can get to 9-8 and at least challenge for one of those wild card spots in the AFC?
It certainly does. I think, you know, within the organization, there's a lot of confidence in what the offense is becoming. And to the previous point, like, yes, it was easy to mock them in the offseason. They legitimately looked bad. Matt Patricia was clearly getting his feet under him. Mac Jones was clearly trying to figure out how to navigate this transition from Josh McDaniels to Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. And it just was not running smoothly. But there's a reason that Bill Belichick told us all in August, like, hey, give us to mid-October before you start making assessments. Like, this offense is going to change. We're going to figure out exactly what we are and how this works. And so I think that there's a lot of belief that they can get to 9-8 and be one of those wild card teams. Now, I also would say from an outsider's perspective, for fans, for people just looking at this and wondering whether to take that over or not, I think there's a lot of people wanting to see the Patriots do this against better competition. The last 2 weeks have been great, no doubt. But it's also fair to note that it came against the Lions and what is now a struggling Browns team just awaiting Deshaun Watson's return. And I'm not sure that one way or another they're going to get that answer this upcoming week. The Patriots play Monday Night Football hosting the Chicago Bears. And while Bill Belichick spent about 7 minutes this morning raving about every facet of the Chicago Bears, they've got a really bad offense, don't look like a very good team. And so I'm not sure that people are going to be persuaded one way or another, even if the Patriots beat the Bears by 2 touchdowns.
You know, when I watch the Patriots, Chad, I see 2 improvements that have happened over 6 weeks. A, they stopped turning the ball over at a high rate like they did against Baltimore, like they did against Miami in the 2 losses. And I also see a defense that has really improved. I see a defense that is hard to run the ball on. We found that out in Cleveland. Say whatever you want about Cleveland. Their run game is usually the tops in the league. They're one of the best teams on 1st and 10 running the football. They're one of the best teams on 3rd and short running the football. And they just kind of own that run game. So to me, I see those 2 areas of strength. And where I'm going with this question is what I saw in that game last Sunday was Isaiah Wynn struggled, and then Marcus Cannon came in. Was that injury related, or do you think Marcus Cannon is going to be the starting right tackle for the Patriots?
It was not injury related. It was performance related. Make no doubt about that. That was the second time in the last 3 weeks that Wynn has had to get pulled in the middle of the game, which you just see so rarely in the NFL and football at large to make a change on the offensive line like that. I think that they are kind of trying to give Isaiah every possible chance to hold that job and to keep it, but he is doing nothing to show that it deserves to be his. Per Pro Football Focus, he had his worst pass blocking game of his career against the Browns. He was the one who allowed the sack that injured both Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer. So it's been a really rough start for him as he switched over to the right side. So I don't know how that's going to get much better. But to your point before that about what the Patriots were able to do in Cleveland in stopping that run game, I think that was really noteworthy because all of the good Bill Belichick teams have been able to take away an opponent's strength. And stopping the run game was kind of the one area that I had some questions about and didn't know if they were going to be able to. They had the 31st ranked run defense going into that Lions week. And of course, if you're going to beat the Lions and if you're going to beat the Browns, you're going to need to stop the run. So I wanted to see if they could do that. And I think the Patriots answered that in resounding fashion.
Again, Chad Graff, so kind to give us a few minutes of time at Chad Graff on Twitter from the windy end zone of Foxborough right now at Gillette Stadium. Chad, thank you for braving the elements. You're a trooper here. We thank you for coming on. Take care. Thanks, man, for the time.
Appreciate you, Chad.
Thank you. These elements, 50-degree weather and sunshine. It's great. Thanks for having me, guys.
There we go. Absolutely. You know, and
always
Michael,
windy there.
Yeah,
it's always windy in Foxborough on that practice field. And then when the winter comes in, it just makes it even worse because it's hard to throw the ball there in practice.
Yeah.
And of course, Belichick, the worse the weather, he just loves it. He enjoys it more than ever.
He's all in. Well, we are in mid-October. We were saying, Chad, he's like, give them some time. And that Patriot run D, we've seen that go EPA per play basis now all the way from 31st to 22nd here, Michael. And the question becomes, how will Chicago move the football? If New England takes away the run, what is going to happen for Justin Fields Monday night? It's hard to find a path forward for Chicago.
A lot of bubble screens. I mean, guy averages just barely 10 completions a game. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, so they will make him play left-handed, but his running ability is what they have to be really concerned about.
That'll be the big factor going in. Again, a game that a lot of teaser liability will be on heading into Monday night. Patriots laying 8 at home against the Chicago Bears. All right, we have to talk about these New York football teams. We talked Jets a little bit earlier. We'll talk Giants next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Attention, BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message, inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Back on the Lombardi Line, I'm Ben, in for Patrick. Michael back with us today. Our VSiN Pro Tip of the Hour, of which you see every single hour here on the network. We were just talking about this, Michael, as it relates to the Patriots' run defense last segment. When you're evaluating these statistical trends in general for teams, make sure to apply context to that. For example, New England, on the season, 22nd against the run, but the last right. 2 weeks have shown marked improvement, 3.8 yards per carry allowed over the past 2 weeks here against Detroit from 2 weeks ago, and then we saw that play out against Cleveland last week. Context matters when you're evaluating these stats, and it was a really good point you brought up there, Michael.
Well, I think what you also have to do is what I try to do every week in my power rankings is you have to take the categories that really determine winning and losing. I mean, does rushing averages determine it? No. Does run and pass combination determine it? No. But there's certain things that do determine it. I mean, when you look at it, like the number one area that determines winning or losing is who wins the points per possession. You know, that who gets points per possession. That's critical, right? Number two would be who gets points per play. That's number two. And so when you go through all those numbers and you see the variance, that's how you come up with power rankings. Power rankings can't be subjective. They have to be based on numerical data to take away bias. And so for me, like New England has moved up significantly, you know, in my power rankings this week because they have performed at a really high level in the areas that matter most towards winning. You know, when I talked about, you know, what matters in winning, I said, you know, like third and one matter. You know, when you can convert third and one in the National Football League, that matters towards winning because that means you control the football. That means you're able to stay on the field longer and get more first downs. So I think you have to be really careful as you apply numbers. Mm-hmm. Not all information is important.
It's a great point. And I flip that forward to where we think about these New York teams. We've been critical in the past, thinking especially if you look at the Giants, a team that has appeared to do a lot of things with smoke and mirrors, albeit with a young head coach in Brian Daboll, who clearly knows what he is doing on the sideline and who's been able to game manage his way to a 5-1 start here for New York. You look at the Giants, though, if you're looking at your point per play metric basis, Michael, 20th out of the 32 teams in the NFL. Defensively, the Giants are 22nd overall on an EPA per play allowed basis. Again, Giants are still, though, 5-1. Where are they at this point now in your power rankings?
I have the Giants ranked really right close to the Jets, right in the middle of the pack. I mean, somewhere between 10 and 15. But where the Giants are very effective is their second half offense. You know, their ability to throw completed passes. I think what you see, they're timely. I've mentioned this before. They're 12th in the least amount of incomplete passes in the league. You say, well, that doesn't really matter. Yeah, it does. You know, they're timely in what they do. They're one of the better red zone defenses in football. You know, they average, you know, they're very good on third down defense, which they're fourth in the National Football League in terms of being able to get off the field. So when you start to add those numbers up and you see that numbers rise, they're 14th in defensive points per play allowed. You know, third down offensively, they're 18th. So I think when you look at it, they're the best fourth quarter team in all of football. Think about that. They're the best fourth quarter team in all of football. They just want to keep the game close, and then they turn it on, and you've got to give them credit for that. I think you got to give them a lot of credit for that. Are they explosive? By no means. They're 32nd in the National Football League in explosive plays. Where are they in the middle eight? They're about 28th in the middle eight, but they're able to win the game in the fourth quarter. They beat Tennessee in the fourth quarter. They beat Baltimore in the fourth quarter. That's where they get it.
And you would think for the opposing side, all these coaches would go into the game planning with New York saying, all right, guys, we got to fit, you know, all the cliches, right? We got to finish. Play 60 minutes. We know this team's a fourth quarter team.
But you're right, though. But see, no coach thinks like that. They don't think like that. Belichick thinks like that. I mean, Parcells thought like that. Most coaches don't. They say that rhetoric, we need to finish. That's not a strategy. That's a saying. What's the strategy in the fourth quarter? What is the strategy in the fourth quarter? We're playing a team that is very good in the fourth quarter. We're playing a team that has won games in the fourth. What is our strategy going to be in the fourth quarter? What's our strategy going to be on third down? What's our strategy going to be when the game matters most? How are we going to handle that? That's something that's never really talked about. And I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than anybody else or Belichick or Parcells, but the reason nobody talks about that is because there's so many coaches that are just calling plays and they're looking at their sheets. They're not thinking of the game in a global standpoint from 35,000 feet. They're not doing that. I was talking to a coach the other day that, you know, we were talking about, you know, the decision to run the ball, the decision to throw the ball on 3rd and 17 when you were backed up, like, you know, where's Staley on that? He's an analytical guy. Like, where is he on those decisions? You know, and well, he calls the game. He's not always involved. Well, see, this is the problem. That everything's been subcontracted out, and so we're not getting that, okay, here's what we got. If you're playing the New York Football Giants this week, if you're Jacksonville, you need a period on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of working on what we're going to do in the fourth quarter.
You know who's been really bad at finishing the last 3 weeks specifically? Jacksonville, averaging over 10 points allowed per fourth quarter now the last 3 weeks, which would rank tied for 29th. They're laying 3, though, at home. A 2-4 team laying points against the 5-1 team going on the road. It's always one of those games that kind of turns your mind into a pretzel, right? Where you're thinking, okay, I know Jacksonville on the roster looks like the better team. It's hard to trust them. And the numbers bear out all the issues that you've just discussed, Michael, into the fourth quarter especially. Do you see it playing out different for the Jags this week, knowing all that is now right in front of us here with the general thought and game strategy that you should approach these Giants games with?
I've been very clear about being very cautious. As much as I like Jacksonville, they are the most talented team in the AFC South. They're not the most cohesive team in the AFC South. Let me say that politely. They don't do anything that goes towards winning the game. They just run their plays, you know. They don't do anything to help the quarterback. He threw 2 incomplete passes last week, and they still lost, right? They still lost, you know, because they're just not willing to do the things they need to do during the game to win the game. You know, there's a difference between calling the game like an offensive coordinator and calling the game like a head coach. I mean, the fact that Jacksonville allowed the Colts to score on their last 5 possessions consistently tells you there was no adjustments happening. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they refused to continue to run the ball or continue to utilize their skill set, there was really, other than an out route in the fourth quarter, there's no middle-of-the-field passing game for Jacksonville. It's either screens or it's shots. There's no middle of the field. There's nothing in the middle of the field. And it becomes problematic. And they can't finish when they get down there. I mean, they're 6th in red zone trips, but they're not high in terms of getting their points converted.
What amazed me, too, about that game Sunday, Jacksonville losing at Indianapolis, offensively, Jacksonville was at over 11 yards per carry. And yet, time and again, in the situations that mattered most, you had a bunch of 3rd and shorts, 4th and ones, and Jacksonville ran these exotic pass plays that had no chance of working. And you're taking on a Giant team this week that's 29th against the run, but you laid out all the facts and the stats on the Giants in red zone defense. At what point does Doug Peterson of Jacksonville realize, hey, maybe we play to our strengths here and try to not just get out of our own way and not completely obliterate our own game plan in the process?
But that's not who he is. That's never who he's been. You know, he's about getting yards and getting points. That's the way his mind works. It's not about how do I manage the game. Meanwhile, Tennessee, they can't get completed passes out of their offense, yet they're win games. They're 3-2-1. I mean, they find a way to do it because Vrabel understands how to win the game, how to win these close games. And Jacksonville does it, and they're just going to blame the quarterback. You know, I get people well, the quarterback's not very good. Well, has the quarterback been set up for success? I mean, has he really been? I don't see it. I agree with you. They run these 4th and goal. He's got a chance to kick a field goal. Would it have made a difference in the game? No. 4th and, I think it was 2. They ran that like read op. They ran the speed option with them. It get lost 4 yards. What are we doing? They're 22nd and fourth down conversions, and they can't wait to go for it.
It's a classic saying, too. If you're betting on these games, the whole truth serum, it comes out. If you're betting, like what you want the team to do, I had Jacksonville in a teaser. Fortunately, it got home on Sunday, but I'm sitting there. It's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. I'm like screaming in this studio at the TVs, like, run the damn ball. And they just kept throwing. Right. It was so infuriating.
Like Bill Walsh used to say all the time, it takes too much effort to figure out how to run the ball against a loaded front, so people just ignore it. It's the same thing that happened to your boy LaFleur. An 8-man front, he said, okay, we can't run it, so I'm going to go. Instead of getting in 2-backs, you know, one thing, if you're in 2-backs today, like San Francisco and Las Vegas, teams don't practice against 2-back runs. You can run the ball against anybody in 2-backs.
A lot to be determined Sunday. Can Jacksonville, we've seen the talents, as we've laid out many a time on the show, can they put it together against the 5-1 Giants this week? Giants, by the way, at BetMGM, up to 9.5 on the win total. That was 7.5 preseason. Had the number one easiest strength of schedule coming in.
They've got a Gonzaga schedule.
Exactly. I don't know that that's been adjusted high enough. Hour number 2, some injury news and notes from around the league coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.